now the world champion has really gone mad. I mean, when you start quoting the Bible, you have to be mad, as far as this world is concerned. They got the ambulance. The ambulance came screaming into the room. They grabbed hold of him, stuffed him, and took him off to the hospital. There was no fight. They had to put on some minor stars to punch each other up. But the world champion was nowhere to be appeared. They said, sorry, but he's gone to the hospital. George Foreman had not gone mad. He had come to the Lord. Now, I find in it something humorous, as you see something humorous too, that God determined that this was the moment and the hour to save him. George Foreman today, since you don't know, ex-heavyweight champion of the world, is preaching the gospel. Especially among the black people, of course, but everywhere else. God loves a man or a woman so much for the sake of that person's soul that he roared with his holiness and with his saving power. I wonder if you can look into the heart of God and sense him drawing you even now. It is truly amazing, truly wonderful how he works. And I have been preaching the gospel for years, and I have looked and wondered, not only at the case of Raymond and others, I've just seen case after case of how much God loves a person. I'm driving in the fog, hardly can see where I'm going, and my heart is just pouring out to God to save Raymond. And I see God's heart, how much. I wonder if you could glimpse for a moment how much God loves you. Don't think that the holiness of God is something to run away from. It is his life that he wants to impart to you, that you may share in his holiness, the dynamic power of salvation.
Talk about power of salvation. I have shared in many messages the amazing things that I have seen God do, also through me. But I will talk about the miracles he has done through me. I was just reading the other day how wonderfully God works. I wonder if you also know of another case. Maybe many of you have not heard of an American general. This American general was called John Medaris, Major General in the U.S. Army. And he was, until not so long ago, head of the U.S. Army Space and Rocket Research Program in Florida. And then God wants to lay hold of this man too.
Another way of dealing with each person. He dealt with George Foreman in that way. He dealt with Medaris in this way, and he will deal with you in a way that he knows best for you. And when that day comes, don't be shocked that he has to deal with you because he loves you so much. One day, General Medaris had terrible pain in his bones. And he went for a medical checkup. And the diagnosis was a shock to him. He had cancer of the bone, which is an excruciatingly painful thing, cancer of the bone. And the doctor, the specialist, gave him 1 year to live. 1 year. And that shattered his life. You know, sometimes God has to confront you with his holiness in such a way to show you that if you stay in sin, you're going to die. You've got to come to his holiness. Plead for his forgiveness. Open your heart to him in obedience to him, so that he can give you his Holy Spirit, his life. Medaris saw that his career was finished. Not only his career, his life was finished. And he knew of a lady. This lady was not famous in anything, except in prayer. And thanks be to God that there are some people who are good at prayer. People who know what it is to live in the beauty of God's holiness. I just said beauty. You know, in the Bible, holiness, the holiness of God is sometimes also described as the beauty of God. So beautiful. I would like you to have a whole new concept about holiness. It is the indescribable beauty of God. A beauty that this General Medaris knew nothing about. But this lady knew a lot about that. You know why some people love to pray? Because they have come to see the beauty of God. When people fall in love with one another, it's why. I wonder why they want to spend all this time together. But because they see some beauty in each other. I don't suppose they want to stay together if they thought each other so ugly. You say, what do you spend all this time with that person? Oh, beautiful, oh, beautiful, oh, beautiful. So what beauty? I don't see no beauty. They see beauty. It's a good thing you didn't see the beauty. Otherwise, everybody would be after the same person. But they see beauty in one another. But have you seen the beauty of God? This lady loved to be in God's presence. That holy beauty drawing her into communion, into prayer. People don't pray because, of course, God isn't attractive to them, isn't beautiful to them. But she knew how to pray. And this general then went to this lady and told her, the doctors have found in me cancer of the bone. And the pain is getting worse and worse. Some people could endure cancer, but they can't endure the pain of cancer. The lady said, that's fine, I'll pray for you. He went before the Lord. He knew that God was using this to deal with this general. He prayed for him. God continued to deal with him for 2 years. 2 years. He wasn't healed right away. 2 years more of suffering. And after 2 years, he was totally healed. Totally healed. They went back and checked him. They couldn't find a trace of cancer anywhere in his bones. Totally healed. God was drawing him. First, to show the desperate condition that sin brings death. And when he had repented of sin and was ready to receive holiness into his life, the holiness of God, God gave him new life, physical and spiritual. We are not talking about fairy tales. General Medaris, who is alive today, resigned his post as head of the space and rocket project of the U.S. Army and is today a pastor. He's a pastor today. He wanted to become now himself, not a means of destruction, but a means of channeling life to other people. Isn't that wonderful? Our time is gone. And I pray that God will draw you by the beauty of his holiness, that you want to have his life, this eternal life, that you will see into the heart of God and realize, even though just a little bit, I hope that today God by His Spirit will help you to see how much God loves you. You. Not the next guy, not the other guy, but you. And that this love is powerful and attractive. In fact, so attractive that it can draw you without a single word being said. I've often shared with you, and with this I have to close, I've often shared with you that wherever I go, I have seen how God works to such an unworthy person as me. I would like you to believe that I am unworthy. I am unworthy. Unworthy of His grace, of His kindness. The more I walk with God, the more I feel unworthy. I tell you the truth. I keep wondering, Lord, you are so wonderful, so glorious, so majestic, so mighty, so loving, so holy. Why is it you walk with me? I'm nobody. He says, I love to walk with nobody. I love to walk with nobody. If you are somebody, he has no time for you. But if you are nobody, he'll love you. He'll walk with you. And I'm trying to share this, that everywhere I go, I find something amazing. I just let God's holiness, that is his life, operate in me. I don't try to do anything in my own strength. It is in the words of the Apostle Paul, Christ lives in me. I am crucified with Christ. But now Christ lives in me. And there's something amazing. I hope the Lord is gracious and patient with me because I'm almost experimenting every time. When I was flying back this time from Montreal back to Hong Kong, my flight from Montreal to Chicago, I had the whole row of seats to myself. Nobody was sitting next to me. But when we got to Chicago, we have to change planes to San Francisco. Those of us who take cheap tickets have to keep changing planes, I think. Those of you who are rich can go straight, you know, change planes. That is wonderful. So from Chicago to San Francisco, I found myself sandwiched in between two people. Very crowded. You don't know where to put your arms, your elbows, and put it up like this. So I started my experiment again. I will not open my mouth. I will not speak. And I will let the power of God so work in the guy next to me that he has to speak to me. That's what I call experiment. I ask the Lord forgiveness. I trust that I'm doing acceptably before him. At least he hasn't convicted me yet. If he does, I will repent thereof. Because I am so certain of God's remarkable power that time again, I never start saying, hey, are you a Christian? Are you saved? Now, here's the Bible. It says in John 3, and what about you? Are you? Yeah, take a text, read it quickly. The plane might crash before we get to San Francisco, so you better get saved. You know, I can never find it in my heart to work like. Maybe some people work like this. It's not for me to judge them. I ask your pardon if I sound in any way judging to anyone. Maybe somebody, sometimes it should be done like that. But I have such confidence in God's remarkable power that I leave him to work and I say nothing. I don't show any Bible. I use no pins, no crosses, nowhere. Nobody knows who I am, what I do. So on the plane from Chicago to San Francisco, I sat there quietly. It took 1 hour. The guy next to me, very handsome American guy in his 30s, a mustache, looked like one of the film stars from Hollywood. I don't know what he did, but he suddenly turned to me and started talking to me. Did you see how God works? I knew it was coming. It took 1 hour, but we have plenty of time until we get to San Francisco. Before we got to San Francisco, he wanted to hear my whole testimony from the beginning. I had to share my testimony with him. He kept encouraging me to tell him more. And I was asking him about himself at first. I wasn't talking about myself. I asked him about it. And then finally he said, well, what about you? So he wanted to know about me, and I told him about how the Lord worked in my life, and he wanted to hear more. I find that this is the way God has put, time and time again, as I have traveled, I've shared with you before. How to explain this thing? I mean, he hadn't even seen my face. In a plane, you all look in the front. You don't look at the guy next to you. You all look in front. You hardly get a glimpse of who is the guy next to you. What is it that somehow, again and again, by God's power, he is drawn like a magnet? What does the Bible say? I was putting into principle something that the Bible says in John. The Lord Jesus says, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men to me. I have seen this drawing power work without fail. But without fail. It's just amazing. My God is real. Now, if you don't experience God working, God will never be real to you. Why don't you try to experience God's work in your life? Why don't you try? So that you don't have to say, I believe because the pastor said so. That's not a very good foundation for believing. I believe because I know that God is real. I have seen his holiness, his life-giving power at work in my life. It's truly remarkable. And so the seeds were sown in that person's life. And these seeds have been sown elsewhere and elsewhere. And one of these days, we shall see the fruit of it. But the most important thing is this. When the Lord Jesus said, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men, he was referring to the cross, of course. When he would be put on the cross, crucified there, put to death, God's holiness, God's severity, and God's love would both be manifested. It is there that I will draw all men. Holiness is frightening in a way, as the cross is some way frightening, and yet remarkably attractive. But do you know what the Bible says? Jesus was on the cross as a sin offering. And in the Old Testament, we are told that the sin offering is most holy. It is most holy. And anyone who so much as touches the flesh of the sin offering himself becomes holy. Amazing. Holiness by contact. Touches the power of the sin offering to communicate holiness. And Jesus said, when I am lifted up, when I am lifted up, I will be a sacrifice for sin. And when he is a sacrifice for sin, he is most holy. And as such, he draws all men to himself. May the holiness of God draw your heart powerfully. May you have a glimpse into his heart today. And may you see today how much, I beg of you to see, how much God loves you. Let us pray.